Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's getting pretty hectic in London ever since British Prime Minister Boris Johnson decided to suspend Parliament for 5 weeks. Politicians resigning, protests outside the House of Commons, all in response to Johnson's extraordinary move, again, to suspend Parliament in September so that he can force through Brexit. It's a pretty unprecedented move in terms of the length of the suspension. So we want to know what you think. Do you think Boris Johnson, Britain's Prime Minister, was bold and brave to suspend Parliament to push through a no-deal Brexit? Or, like the House of Commons Speaker John Bercow said, it's an offense against the democratic process. What do you think? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Joining us now from Birmingham, England, is Malcolm Brabant. For years, he was an award-winning correspondent with the BBC. He's frequently on PBS NewsHour, where he's a special correspondent as well. Malcolm, welcome to On Point.
Hello, Meghna. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. So first of all, I said that the Prime Minister's suspension of Parliament was unprecedented due to the length of the suspension. Is that right? Is this a really bold move by Johnson?
In terms of the length, it is unprecedented, but Parliament is frequently suspended by, prime ministers when they want to introduce a new legislative period. And what he would argue is that all he's done is just to extend this by a couple of extra weeks in order to be able to get his new legislative program through. When Parliament comes back from its annual vacation, which is normally next week sometime, then the MPs, members of Parliament, then disappear to various conferences around the country, and that's normal. What he's done is he's extended that 3-week conference period by an extra couple of weeks. But his main objective, basically, is to stop the stalemate that has thwarted Brexit over the past 3 years, and he's being slightly disingenuous when he says that his main objective is to get this legislative period through. I mean, that is the truth, but what he's really trying to do is to thwart those people who want to make sure that he can't make Britain crash out of the European Union on October the 31st without a deal. But what he's also trying to do is to sharpen the minds also of the Europeans, with whom he's going to have to negotiate, to make it absolutely clear to them that he's serious about crashing out he's serious about leaving on the 31st. And that he wants to make sure that there is going to be no more of these delays. Mm-hmm. And so what he's hoping to do is to sort of, sharpen the minds of the negotiators on the European side so that they are prepared to make some concessions, which will ultimately enable him to leave with a deal, which is what he says he wants to do, because the consequences of leaving without a deal are uncertain, and there could be sort of major disruption.
Okay, so Malcolm, you've said a bunch of things there that I want to explore with you in a little bit more detail. So first of all, back up here for just a second, if you could, Johnson is saying that he wants to be able to break the stalemate, essentially, but aren't his critics saying, well, by doing that, you're essentially saying that you don't want Parliament to further debate Brexit, that what you're doing is breaking British democracy by suspending Parliament?
Well, I mean, those people who say that he's breaking democracy are those people who have been thwarting democracy, because those people who are in favour of Brexit would say that the British people decided on 2016 that they wanted to leave, and they had a promise that Parliament would facilitate the departure from the European Union, but nothing has happened. And over the past couple of years, and especially in the past sort of 6 months, as leaving the European Union has become more urgent, as far as Brexit is concerned, Parliament has just debated and debated, and it's just not been able to make up its mind. And some people are saying that just stop this conversation now, because it's going nowhere. Parliament simply is so heavily divided, it cannot make up its mind.
But if I may be clear, though, and correct me, Malcolm, correct me if I'm wrong. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But part of the reason why Theresa May couldn't get her Brexit deal through Parliament three times in a row wasn't just because of the Remainers, but it was because of the Boris Johnson wing of the Tory party. They too didn't want that deal. So whoever, whoever's stopping it wasn't just Remainers.
No, but it is pretty complex.
Yeah.
The reason behind it. I mean, but many people would say that one of the reasons why Theresa May failed was that she wasn't. She basically took a hard Brexit off the table, and this comes down to how you negotiate. I mean, this is a huge debate in Britain about the way that in which you try to sort of forge a deal. And people who come from a business background say you have to have the ability to be able to walk away with nothing if you're prepared to get the deal you want. But what Parliament did was basically to say, well, we're not going to allow you to break out without a deal. And so that stymied, in a way, the possibility of getting a decent deal. And that's what Boris Johnson is trying to get around.
Has Donald Tusk or any member, any decision maker in the European Union shown any willingness to go back to the negotiating table in the face of a hard Brexit? I mean, they've been pretty staunch in their position, haven't they?
Well, Donald Tusk has, but actually there has been movement with Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, and also with President Macron of France. It has to be said that Chancellor Merkel's position is slightly weaker than it used to be because, she's basically on the way, down the pecking order in Europe. And so Macron is potentially sort of the more important member of the partnership here. But Boris Johnson had meetings with both Macron and with Merkel. And he extracted a promise from Angela Merkel that he could have, 30 days to come up with an alternative, and she's willing to do that. So her influence within the European Union, despite the fact that she's on the wane, politically and influentially, is still really quite substantial. And so, we're waiting to see in the next month or so, what Boris Johnson is going to come up with in terms of his negotiating position, to see whether or not that will satisfy the likes of Angela Merkel and others, so that perhaps there can be, a renegotiation. And that basically comes down to the situation in Ireland. And what everybody wants to be able to do is to maintain an open border while at the same time not sort of tying Britain completely to the terms of the European Union indefinitely. And that's been the big objections from the Brexiteers, is that they feel as though they're going to be tied to the terms and conditions of the European Union because they have to keep that border open. So, what they're trying to do is to come up with what Boris Johnson needs to do is to become able to come up with a new solution which keeps a soft border so that there can be a free flow of goods and people across without, having border posts in, which was one of the reasons, these were flashpoints during the troubles in Northern Ireland. And, yeah. And having a soft border has been one of the things that's maintained the peace there.
One can must imagine that the people in Ireland feel like, are they being treated like a sacrificial lamb at the altar of Brexit here? That is a very hard-won peace you're talking about in Ireland.
Well, yeah, it is. But it is extremely complex. But I mean, some people would say that one of the problems is that you've got a very sort of determined and intransigent prime minister or a Taoiseach in the Irish Republic, who is perhaps coming under pressure from. I mean, he has basically said that the deal as it stands at the moment has to stand, but he may come under pressure from business people in Ireland to sort of soften his stance. Excuse me. And also, I mean, if the proposal that the administration of Boris Johnson comes up with meets with the approval of Angela Merkel, then you may find that the Irish Taoiseach comes under pressure to modify his stance, because if it's acceptable to the EU, then maybe it'll be acceptable to the Irish as well. So they're in a very difficult position, and it is complicated by all of the troubles that there have been in the past, and nobody, I mean, including Boris Johnson, wants to go back to those troubles at all. I mean, people like peace; they don't like conflict. And there have been signs that there are still some hardline Republicans who are trying to sort of capitalise on the kind of climate, and are interested in stoking up violence. Mm. So it's a very, very sensitive subject.
It is, and I have to say, from my perspective here in the United States, though, it stretches the imagination to think that in the next 5 or 6 weeks they can come up with a solution to this Irish problem that they couldn't come up with for 3 years.
I'm not a negotiator. I haven't been sort of party to the negotiations. And yes, I mean, it does seem like, they've had 3 years to get it sorted out. And, they haven't done it. So how are they going to do it in a short space of time? But the thing is, sometimes having a deadline, having an imperative to sort things out, sharpens people's minds. And, maybe they're able to come up with a solution.
Nothing like a deadline to get things done. Let's just go to a caller really quick. Let's go to Jill, who's calling from Winterset, Iowa. Jill, you're on the air.
Hi. My comment is, I believe that this is an undermining of world democracy globally via the efforts of Putin, via social media, the bots, the trolls, and people complicit inside England and Europe and including Boris Johnson. Mm. I think it's going to be catastrophic for democracy around the world.
Jill, thank you for your call. Malcolm, would you like to respond to Jill?
I don't know how to respond to that, to be perfectly honest. I mean, having sort of seen Boris Johnson, over the past 20 years or so, I don't think for one second that, there's any kind of, interference or manipulation taking part on the part of Russians at all. He's a very independently minded person, and, I don't think that there's any sort of conspiracy attached to him whatsoever.
Okay. Let's go to Nancy, who's calling from Buffalo, New York. Nancy, you're on the air.
Okay. Yes, I think the British people should demand another referendum, because it's been 3 years since the original referendum was taken, and I think the vote would probably come out in favor of remaining in the EU, because the people of the United Kingdom are more knowledgeable now about the devastating effects that would result if they left the Union. That backstop in Ireland, I'm telling you right now, that problem cannot be solved. Yeah. It cannot be solved, because this is part of the peace agreement after that horrible fighting that went on and killing and death that went on in Ireland. Yeah. The open border was part of that agreement. Now, if they take that Good Friday agreement away, there will be chaos probably in Ireland, and people are aware that this is going to cause horrible chaos and horrible problems in Ireland. And
Nancy, I'm going to take it back from you, because I appreciate your call. And the first part of your call, I want to get Malcolm's thoughts on, because there had been there have been calls from various sectors of UK government for another referendum, another vote. Lots of people object to that, saying that it would be anti-democratic because there was already a vote in 2016. So I guess the question is, like, what sort of form of affront against democracy do you want? Do you want another referendum, or do you want Parliament suspended? I don't even know how to think about this anymore, Malcolm.
Well, I mean, there are many people who think that referenda are a very sort of bad way of going about sort of determining a country's future. And, I mean, if you want to look at the root cause of the problems that Britain have got right now, it is that the then Prime Minister who agreed to the referendum, David Cameron, did so against the advice of many other people. He said that he should have put other safeguards in place to make sure that when the country made its decision, that it would be a decision that could be accepted by the rest of the country. Now, if you were to do this in America, what I suspect you would have to have is the same sort of majorities you have in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. You'd have to have a two-thirds majority. Unfortunately, what happened was that Cameron agreed to a referendum which was determined to be 50% plus one. Mm-hmm. And just to reiterate the result of the referendum, it was 52% in favor of Brexit and 48% against. But those people who argue against a second referendum, say that, what do you want to do? Do you want to keep having, referenda until you get the result you want? And the problem was, there was a cast iron promise given that the outcome of that referendum in 2016 would be respected. And that is the, regardless of the political sort of rhetoric that went on at the time, and I mean, this is completely uncharted territory.
Right.
But, if the finger of history, I suspect, will point very, very badly at David Cameron for having sort of created this, this terrible division, because Britain really is split. It's split, amongst families, friends are breaking up. And there was a columnist in the Guardian newspaper yesterday who talked about there being, a civil war mentality, Now, I mean, I've been to sort of the odd civil war, and I think she's being extreme. But I think that the divisions that have been caused as a result of this are going to take a generation to heal, because people are really, the census is really visceral, and it's I've only just come back to Britain after 30 years away, and I find it extremely painful to see my friends being sort of split down the middle. Well, I have to say, I don't have that many friends on the Brexit side of the other line, which probably sort of tells you about the kind of liberal friendships I have on Facebook or whatever. But you don't see many people going on about Brexit on my Facebook pages. So that's not to say, I'm not telling you, where I stand on this side of the line. I mean, it's as a person who's reporting Britain as a foreign country, I find it fascinating the kind of convulsions the country's going through.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier that those in favor of Brexit keep asking, well, how many referendums can you have until you get the result that you want? I imagine that those opposed to Brexit right now are saying, well, how often can you suspend Parliament until you get the result you want? I mean, that is the visceral nature of the split here that you're talking about. I mean, Malcolm, we've got about a minute left here to go. Can you tell us about some of the, how's the Labour Party reacting to Johnson's suspension of Parliament?
Well, the Labour Party is basically saying that, it's a smash and grab on democracy. Other people are calling it a constitutional coup. People are sort of upset that the Queen has been dragged into this. But, the problem is that Britain actually doesn't have a written constitution. Everything we have here is kind of, it's protocol and it's convention and habit and precedent. And that's why, it's so vague. If we had a written constitution, then, perhaps the courts could stop what has happened. And there's been some interesting legal advice, which one of which is that if it's been proved that the Boris Johnson has misled the Queen, then perhaps he might possibly face sort of challenges in the High Court over that. But the way it stands, suspension of Parliament's going ahead.
Yeah. Well, Malcolm Broadbent joining us from Birmingham, England, special correspondent for the PBS NewsHour, former BBC national and international correspondent as well. Malcolm, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.